She slides half a sandwich and a bowl of soup in my direction. I arrived a few minutes early and bought lunch. I hope you like tomato bisque. It's perfect, thanks. Ellen wraps her turkey in Swiss before taking a bite. I'm starving. I nod in agreement and do the same. While we eat, she tells me all about the new campus production she has a part in. Even though Elle is only a sophomore, she's been given a larger role in the spring play. This time they're performing The Wolves, a story about a high school soccer team. So what about you? She asks. Anything going on? Have you been out with anyone interesting lately? I glance away, unsure if I should mention my one-night stand that's turned into a two-night stand. It's not like we went out on a real date or anything like that. When I remain silent, her brows shoot up. I know that look. Spill. I nibble my lower lip as indecision spirals through me. Elle narrows her eyes. If you don't tell me right this minute, I'll call in reinforcements. Holland will tell me for sure, and if she doesn't know, she can help drag all the juicy details out of you. All right, sheesh. With a grimace, I roll my eyes. I'm sorry I ever introduced the two of you. Every time I turn around, you two are plotting against me. She flashes a devilish smile. Just remember that it's all done out of love. I snort. Oh, is that what you tell yourself to sleep better at night? There's not an ounce of remorse in her expression. I sleep just fine, if you must know. There's a beat of silence. Now tell me. Ugh. I wasn't planning to share the details with anyone until I get a better handle on the situation, and just how I'm going to untangle myself from it. A little pang of sadness fills me at the idea of never seeing Maverick again, or feeling the way his strong hands stroke over me, leaving a trail of delicious sensation in their wake. You left me with no choice. I'm pulling out my phone and calling. Fine, I'll spill. I scoot my chair closer to the table and tuck a stray lock of hair behind my ear before dropping my voice. I hooked up with someone, twice. Her jaw drops and her eyes widen until they look like they're on the verge of falling out of her head and rolling around on the table that sits between us. Shut up, you're lying. Heat blooms in my cheeks. I wish I could be more blasé about the encounter, but that's just not me. And Elle gets that. She was a virgin before getting together with her boyfriend, who also happens to be her older brother's best friend. Like I'd lie about something like that. She presses against the edge of the table, attempting to bridge some of the distance between us. Now I really need all the details. With a jerk of my shoulders, I glance around, hoping that no one is eavesdropping. It was just a guy I met at a bar. Excuse me? Since when do you hang out at bars? I was out celebrating with River after a game. It's almost comical the way her brows skyrocket into her hairline. And River let you go home with some dude? Color me stunned, seriously. He doesn't know. Well, that makes way more sense. Doesn't he normally run off any guy who tries to shoot his shot with you? Yep. I say with a sigh before waving a hand. It's one of the reasons I'm here at Western. She takes a sip of her bottled water. Then I should thank him. Otherwise, we would have never met. Some of the tension filling me drains away. I suppose not, although it's doubtful he'd appreciate it. So when are you going to see this mystery man again? Word numbers exchanged. I just saw him yesterday. Even thinking about the way he laid his hands on me is enough to have sparks of arousal detonating in the pit of my belly. Any chance this will turn into something more than casual? I shake my head. Sadness chases away any of the desire that had bloomed to life inside me. I don't think so. The next words tumble from my mouth before I can stop them. River would definitely have a problem with him. Let's be real here. River would have a problem with anyone you dated. That's just facts. the girl isn't wrong. You know that I went through something similar with Brayden. He lost his shit when he found out that Carson and I were sneaking around behind his back. It caused a lot of problems in our relationship, and theirs. When she ends her story at that point, I say, you realize that what you're saying doesn't make any of this better, right? The edges of her lips quirk. What has helped is time. He needed to wrap his brain around the fact that I was a grown woman who was more than capable of making her own decisions and mistakes. River needs to do the same. You're right. It's just not an easy conversation to have. He's my twin and super protective. Any humor brimming in her expression or voice falls away. After Dad died, Brayden felt like he needed to step up and into that role. It was only after he found out about Carson that we got into a massive fight and stopped talking for a bit. That's when he finally agreed to back off. Sooner or later, River's going to have to accept that you have your own life to live, and that you won't be doing it in a convent. He'd be thrilled if I did, I reluctantly admit. That's too bad. He needs to get with the program. Every time I try to tell him that, he refuses to listen. I can't imagine anything I say having a big enough effect to change his behavior. My shoulders wilt as those thoughts buzz around in my brain. Like I said before, I'm not sure if it'll go anywhere with this guy. She waggles her brows. Well, I certainly hope you enjoy finding out. Hey, Elle! A curvy girl with bouncy brown hair calls out with a wave as she makes her way in our direction. The girl she's with has long straight hair that's the color of mahogany. Hi, Brooke. Elle glances at the other girl before smiling at her. Juliet, I haven't seen you for a while. Elle turns to me before making introductions. This is Willow. She transferred to Western last fall. Willow, this is Brooke and Juliet. Hi, it's really nice to meet you. My gaze bounces between the two. They both seem friendly and approachable. Although if they're close with Elle, I can't imagine anything else being true. She surrounds herself with good people. My gaze resettles on Juliet. There's something strangely familiar about her. I don't know if I've seen her around campus or if we've had a class together. Is it possible that she's popped into the tutoring center for help? The little tickle at the back of my brain refuses to be dismissed. With a tilt of my head, my eyes stay locked on Juliet. You look really familiar. Have we met before? Maybe had a class together? Brooke pats her friend on the shoulder. Unless you're pre-med, probably not. Little Miss Smarty Pants here is heavy on the sciences, which is exactly why you won't see her around at a lot of the parties. Guess I can cross tutoring center off the list. She could probably work there if she had the time. I can't help but chuckle. Then no, we definitely don't have any classes together. I'm in the education program. Emotion flashes across Juliet's face as she nods. I thought about teaching as well, but then decided in high school that pre-med was a better fit. That's all it takes for my mind to tumble back to all the doctors and nurses who helped take care of me. They all have a special place in my heart. Without them and the marvels of medicine, I might not be here right now. I give credit to anyone who wants to pursue a career in the medical field. Juliet's boyfriend plays hockey for the Wildcats, Elle adds when silence descends. Grateful for the change in topic, I say, my brother plays for the Easttown Rattlers. We just played that team the other week. I nod and say lightly, yeah, I was there. It was a hard-fought game. The last thing I want to do is rub the loss in their faces. Juliet's brother also plays for the Wildcats, Elle adds conversationally. His name is Maverick. There's a pause. Maverick McKinnon, maybe you've heard of him? My eyes widen, and for a heartbeat, it feels like the air gets knocked from my lungs. Yeah, I think so. Juliet shrugs. My brother was pretty upset after that game. Actually, the entire team was. They took the loss hard. Apprehension skates down my spine. She leans closer before lowering her voice. There's a player on that team that he's always had issues with. It goes back to high school, when the guy stole his girlfriend. Even after all these years, it still gets chippy when they play each other. I shift on the chair, only wanting to shut down this conversation. With a tilt of her head, interest ignites in her dark eyes. I'm curious as to who. Before she can finish the rest of the sentence, I grab my phone and glance at the screen. A second later, I jerk to my feet. Shoot, I have a meeting at 1. I need to get moving or I'll be late. My gaze flicks to Elle, whose brows are pinched together. Really? I thought you were free for the afternoon. I shake my head as my heart pounds a painful staccato. Yeah, I thought so too. I can't believe I forgot about the appointment I set up with my advisor to discuss my summer class load. Bummer. I gather up my bag before forcing a smile to my lips. Brooke and Juliet, it was really nice to meet both of you. You too, they say in unison. Maybe we can all get together another time. You can meet some of our other friends. I bet you'd like them, Juliet adds. The sincerity etched across her face has guilt blooming within me. As much as I'd enjoy getting to know these girls better, that's not going to happen. With a quick wave, I rush from the table. It's only when I've put some distance between myself and Maverick's sister that a relieved breath escapes from me.
Chapter 23, Maverick. Impatience simmers beneath my skin as I shove through the locker room doors and toss my stick into the holder before unsnapping the chin strap and yanking the helmet off my head. Instead of being focused on hockey the way I should be, the way I always have been, I'm more interested in hustling my ass to the library. I'm worried that Willow will attempt to hide from me, from this, whatever the hell this happens to be. At the moment, I'm none too sure. I just know that what I feel for her is different. It's more. The thing that drives me crazy is that this isn't one-sided. I know damn well she feels it too. For some reason, she's dead set on fighting this. I'm fighting me, and that I won't allow. 10 minutes later, I'm showered and dressed, ready to take off, ready to get my hands on her. It's only been a few days since I've touched her, and already I'm going through withdrawals. I flex my fingers to keep everything loose. A pit has taken up residence at the bottom of my belly. As much as I've been thinking about Willow, I can't stop thoughts of River from invading my brain, too. Did she run back to him after we had sex? Even the thought of that makes me want to plow my fist through something. Preferably River Thompson's face. There's no way that douchebag deserves her. He doesn't even deserve to look in her direction. Remembering how he'd allowed another girl to maul him in front of her? It pisses me the fuck off. She's better than that. Deserves better than that. After Sabrina, I didn't bother with relationships. They seemed like more work than they were worth, especially once I hit college. Division I hockey is no joke. It's more like a full-time job. Add school to that, and it doesn't leave much time for anything else. My only interest in the fairer sex was to release a little steam. And for the last 3 years, that's worked well. There are plenty of groupies on this campus that are happy to have no strings attached sex on the regular. Or blow me. They never meant anything. And they sure as shit didn't rent space in my head. All I can say is that Willow is different. She's so fucking perfect. And if River doesn't realize it, he doesn't deserve her in his life. If I have any say in the matter, he won't. Willow might not realize it yet, but she belongs to me. Those thoughts only make me more anxious to see her. I grab my backpack from my locker and swing toward the door. Hey, where are you off to? I glance at Ryder as he drags a t-shirt over his head. Things are still weird between us. What I don't know is if he's aware of it. I've considered broaching the subject, but the possibility of coming off like a whiny bitch is what continues to hold me back. When I remain silent, lost in the tangle of my thoughts, he pops a brow. Mav? I hitch the backpack higher on my shoulder. The library. He laces up his shoes. Maybe I'll come with you. I have a test to cram for, and Jules is out with Karina. With a frown, I digest that tidbit. So if Juliet's busy, he can make time for me? I try to squash the irritation before it has the chance to multiply. I can't help but snap, sorry, already meeting up with someone. Maybe another time. Oh, anyone I know? Nope. Huh. Oblivious to my curt tone, a gleam enters his eyes. See you back at the house, I mutter, swinging around and stalking to the metal door before he can investigate the situation any further. It's a relief when I shove into the arena. The icy air stings my lungs as I draw it into my body. Strange as it sounds, it never fails to calm everything that vibrates within me. Ice rinks have always been like a second home to me. Some of my most cherished memories are of watching Dad play hockey or him teaching me how to skate. When I'm looking for peace, this is the place where I've always found it. There's something about the serenity of it. Like when Mom was diagnosed with cancer and the chemo left her feeling like shit. I shake off those painful memories as I shove through the doors and hit the sidewalk. They're not ones I like to dwell on. There's nothing worse than wondering if the most important person in your life will be around in 6 months. Or a year from now. Actually, that's not true. The worst thing is coming to the realization that there's not a damn thing you can do about it. That the situation is completely out of your hands. That's when feelings of helplessness and fear make sucking a full breath into your lungs impossible. There aren't many things that scare the shit out of me. Losing someone I love is one of them. I don't ever want to be put through that kind of hell again. The relief that rushes through me is palpable when the library comes into view and thoughts of Willow shove cancer from my brain. I slip inside the sprawling brick building before hustling up the staircase to the third floor. As I crest the landing, my gaze coasts over the area, searching for her blonde head. Part of me wonders if she'll ditch me and I'll have to track her ass down. At least this time, I'll have more to go on. If that means knocking on River Thompson's door and demanding to see her, that's exactly what I'll do. Everything loosens inside me when I spot her tucked against the far wall. Her head is angled downward, and there's a pair of black glasses perched on the bridge of her nose. The punch of arousal is like a straight shot to my dick. And here, I didn't think it was possible for her to look any sexier. I was wrong. Her long hair has been pulled into a messy bun at the top of her head. From this angle, I'm able to glimpse the graceful line of her neck. The sweatshirt she's wearing showcases the delicate curve where it meets her shoulder. All I want to do is kiss my way down the long column of bared flesh. It's only been a couple days since I've seen her, but it feels more like years. I'm so damn hungry for the sight of her, the taste of her. There were a handful of times when I picked up my phone and considered shooting her a text. In the end, I deleted the messages. I'm trying to dial it down and not come on too strong. It's taking every ounce of willpower to hold myself back and not pounce on her. When I have myself under control again, I close the distance between us before dropping down beside her. Hello, sunshine. Before she can respond to the greeting, I wrap my fingers around the side of her chair and drag it closer. Her eyes widen a second or two before my lips crash onto hers. Maybe I told myself that I needed to play this cool, but I'm unable to do it. This girl makes me lose all control. It's as exhilarating as it is frightening. When a gasp escapes her, my tongue slips inside the warmth of her mouth. Sweetness blooms to life inside me before rushing through my veins. There's something addictive about her. It's like I can't keep my hands or lips off this girl. It's only when someone in the vicinity clears their throat and grumbles about how inappropriate PDA in the library is that her palms flatten against my chest and she gently pushes me away. That doesn't stop my body from straining toward hers. Already her cheeks are stained pink and she's breathless. I love that I'm the one who does this to her. As unaffected as she tries to pretend she is, her body gives her away every single time. More than anything, I want to unravel her and figure out who she is. what makes her tick, her likes and dislikes. And not just in the bedroom. Already I'm learning those preferences. My gaze flicks back to hers when she clears her throat.
If I'm going to tutor you, we should probably keep our relationship professional.
A burst of laughter escapes from me. Professional? Are you being serious? Her brows slide together as uncertainty flickers in her eyes.
Yeah?
Sorry, it's much too late for that. There's nothing professional about our relationship. And FYI, there never will be. I lean closer before whispering, now that I've tasted how sweet your pussy is, it's all I can think about. A dull flush crawls up her cheeks.
Maverick.
I pump a brow.
Yeah? You shouldn't say things like that.
Why? It's the truth. One taste of your honey, and I was addicted. I stroke my fingers across her cheek, and then her lower lip. Fuck, but I'm so tempted to nip at her mouth, because I know exactly how much it'll turn her on. Her pupils will dilate until the black swallows up the bright blue. There's nothing sexier than Willow when she's aroused. What I need to do is break down all her defenses until she finally accepts that this one-night stand has turned into something more, something neither of us saw coming. When she studies me in silence for a long moment, I wonder if she'll argue. Here's the thing. She can fight this as much as she wants. It won't change the outcome. And we sure as hell aren't going to maintain a professional relationship in the interim. She clears her throat.
So, from what I understand, you need help with English?
The change in conversation has me releasing the air wedged in my lungs. Until now, I hadn't realized that I'd been holding it captive. Yep, I've been working on a paper. Some of the tension wafting off her dissolves. She seems more comfortable now that talk has turned to school. As long as she understands that I'll be stealing kisses while we work, we'll be just fine.
Can I see it?
I unzip my backpack and pull out my laptop before firing it up. That ordinary act is enough to have dread rushing through my veins. As much as I don't want to show her, that's the reason we're here. The one way I forced her into spending time with me. Now, I actually have to go through with it. Fuck. Maybe this wasn't such a hot idea after all. Willow seems like a smart girl. It won't take long for her to arrive at the conclusion that I'm either stupid, don't try, or have a disability. And then she'll see me in a different light. Or worse, feel sorry for me. My leg bounces with the nerves that have burst to life within me. Pity is the last thing I want from her. I chew my lower lip as I pull up the document and stare at it. Even now, the letters swim before my eyes. I fucking hate this. I blink in hopes that the words will make sense. Frustration spirals through me when it doesn't happen, and I shove the computer toward her. I should have agreed to work with a different tutor. Maybe I could have said that the only way I'd do it is if she agreed to let me take her out. This was short-sighted on my part, but I was afraid she'd disappear again, or try to hold me at a distance. The girl didn't even want to give me her name. When her glasses slip down the bridge of her nose, she pushes them back in place. That really shouldn't be so alluring. For the first time in my life, I get the whole sexy librarian thing. It takes effort to bite back the groan that rises in my throat. Because trust me, there was nothing hot about our school librarian. She was somewhere in her 70s and would threaten to take a chunk out of you if you returned a book late or, God forbid, damaged one of them. The one time I returned a late paperback, she snatched it from my hands before baring her dentures. As I hightailed it from the library, I'm pretty sure she cradled it in her arms and referred to it as her precious. So, yeah. I nibble my lower lip as Willow pulls the laptop toward her and focuses on the screen. I'm watching so closely that I see the exact moment her brow furrows. That's all it takes for my muscles to lock as I prepare myself for a barrage of questions and comments. Ones that will ultimately leave me feeling like a dumbass. And that's the last kind of guy she's going to want to fuck. The longer she remains silent, pressing the down arrow and scrolling through the second half of the paper, the more tension gathers in my shoulder blades, as my foot thumps a steady rhythm. I really fucking hate writing. And reading. It's so damn difficult. Torturous. How anyone finds pleasure in the activity is beyond me. The computer helps. Spellcheck and other grammar tools are a lifesaver. It sucked when I was in elementary school and everything had to be handwritten. Most of my teachers couldn't make heads or tails out of my penmanship. And spelling? Forget about it. I can't spell to save my life. Even if I memorized the word, the letters don't always come out looking like they should. I steal another glance at her. Yep, definite mistake. There's only one way this is going to end, and that's badly.
Chapter 24, Willow. My thoughts churn as I digest the final paragraph of Maverick's paper. The topic focuses on whether college athletes should be paid. Despite the punctuation and grammatical errors, it's both interesting and informative. There are some paragraphs that are short and abrasively to the point. They need to be expanded with more supporting examples and evidence to back up the ideas. Then there are others that seem to ramble and meander before finally coming to a close. It's almost like he forgot the main point he was trying to get across to the reader. Better organization of his thoughts would also help. Those are all correctable problems we can work on. What struck me most is that reading Maverick's paper reminded me of all the times I helped my brother with his homework in high school. There are the same patterns of errors with punctuation, grammar, and organization that lead me to believe Maverick might have the same issue. Dyslexia. I'm certainly not an expert, and I could be wrong. That's what I'm most afraid of. As I gather my thoughts, I peek at the hockey player only to find him watching me intently. The easy confidence of before is notably absent from his expression. In its place is a look of tension. It only reinforces my hunch. If he's anything like River, it's a sensitive topic. My brother struggled all through elementary school before finally being diagnosed in fourth grade. By then, the damage had been done and he hated school. He was often made to feel like he wasn't as smart as his peers. When he would get frustrated, he'd end up acting out and causing problems for his teachers, or he'd get into fights with other students. There were times when I wondered if River would have the grades to get into college. He worked with a tutor all through high school and managed to turn things around for himself. I'm proud of him for that. His path to playing hockey at East Town wasn't easy. How ironic is it that the more I get to know Maverick, the more I realize how much he and River have in common? If they weren't constantly pitted against one another, they could have been friends. It's not always easy to find people who have walked a similar path and understand the challenges you've faced.
Is it total trash? Just don't tell me that I have to start from scratch, because this paper is due in 2 days and there's no way in hell I'll be able to get it done.
I force a smile, wanting to alleviate the strain woven through his deep voice. Before I realize it, my hand drifts to his bare arm where he shoved up the sleeves of his sweatshirt. His attention drops to the place where we're now connected. Heat stings my cheeks when I realize what I've done. Which is kind of comical because we've been far more intimate than me touching his arm in a public space and offering support. Although this is the first time I've initiated physical contact. The moment I try to remove my fingers, his other hand settles over mine, locking it in place. My gaze collides with his before becoming ensnared in his dark depths. That's all it takes for my mouth to turn bone dry, making speech impossible.
I like when you touch me.
The gravel in his voice settles at the bottom of my belly like a heavy stone. Truth be told, I like touching him too, but I'm not about to admit that. I get the feeling if I give him an inch, he'll take a mile. You don't have to redo it, There's a lot here for us to work with, I reassure. His muscles gradually loosen and his brows rise.
You think so?
A mixture of hope and surprise rings throughout those three little words. My lips lift into more of a smile as his fingers stay locked around mine. Yeah, we just need to give it a little more organization, add a few more supporting statements, and clean up some of the grammar and sentence structure. It'll take some work, but it's much easier than starting over, and 2 days is plenty of time to make adjustments.
That doesn't sound so bad,
he says with a nod. I promise it won't be. Here's the caveat. I'm more than willing to point out areas that can be improved and give suggestions, but I'm not going to rewrite the paper for you. I don't necessarily want to bring up his possible disability, but it would help to know exactly what I'm dealing with. I spent a lot of time in high school helping my brother with his homework. I force out the rest. Your paper reminds me of his. He stills as his grip tightens around mine.
Oh?
He has dyslexia and really struggled with it, especially before he was diagnosed. Unsure what else to say, my voice trails off. I know I've hit the mark when color seeps into his cheeks and he glances away. My heart twists as I scoot closer. I'm not trying to embarrass you. It's just, it'll be easier for us to work together if I understand what the issue is. His gaze settles on mine as he releases a pent-up breath.
Yeah, I have dyslexia. My parents realized what was going on right away because my dad also has it, so I had early intervention.
I'm sure that helped. My parents were reluctant to believe that there was anything wrong with my brother. Some of his embarrassment fades.
You never mentioned having a sibling. Is he older?
I chew my lower lip and nod. Yeah, technically, by 4 minutes.
Does he attend Western?
No, I clear my throat, no longer wanting to discuss my family. I'm afraid he'll put two and two together and figure out that River isn't my boyfriend, but my brother instead. And then all hell will break loose. It would be so much easier if I didn't feel anything for Maverick, if I didn't like the way it feels when he lays his hands on me, or enjoy the time we spend together. But that's not the case. It takes effort to banish that thought. What about you? As soon as the question leaves my lips, I realize that I met his sister the other day at lunch. It's tempting to admit the truth, but I hold it back.
Just a sister. She's older by a year and also attends Western. She's pre-med.
That's really impressive. His lips curve as he nods.
Juliet is really smart. She's the one who helped me in school when I needed it. Even when I came here, she made time to work with me. But the more challenging her classes have become, the less she's been able to do that.
He jerks his shoulders and stares at the computer screen.
Plus, she'll graduate this spring and won't be around much longer, so I need to figure it out on my own.
It's obvious from the pride that fills his tone that he doesn't resent her for not struggling with the same academic challenges. Sounds like you two are really close.
We are.
For a long moment, he's silent before admitting in a softer voice,
"Our family was always tight. But after Mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, we became even more so. It's the reason Juliet decided to become a doctor."
A thick lump swells in my throat at what he's just revealed. The emotion that had flashed in Juliet's eyes when she told me about her career choice now makes more sense. That must have been difficult. I know exactly how much a loved one's diagnosis can affect their family members. It's like a windshield getting hit with a rock, and the cracks in the glass spidering outward, touching everyone, even distantly. Emotion flashes across his face.
It sucked. I've never felt so powerless in my life.
I can imagine.
There were times when she was so weak and sick from the chemo. All I could do was sit by her side and keep her company so she wasn't alone. Nothing I did took away her pain or lessened it. The worst was watching as she lost weight and then her hair. At one point, she was a much thinner, paler shadow of her former self. And I lived in constant fear that she'd be taken from us. My heart contracts at his rough words. It's so tempting to gather him up into my arms and hold him tight. I'm sure it meant a lot to her that you were there, offering support and cheering her on. When someone is battling an illness, having that love can be a source of real strength. It gives you something to fight for during those days when you're so tired and sick that you just want to give up. His gaze sharpens on me as he nods.
Yeah, that's exactly what she said. Sounds like you've been through a similar situation.
I glance away as everything he confided swirls through my brain. Unfortunately, I think most people have been touched by cancer in some way. Air deflates from his body as his shoulders collapse.
You're right about that. Cancer fucking sucks.
I squeeze his hand again, only wanting to pull him back to the present and out of the painful memories. Is she all right?
Yeah. She's been in remission for a couple of years now. Although every time she goes in for blood work or a checkup, I worry that something will pop up and it'll send our family tumbling down the rabbit hole again. When she was first diagnosed, I did a ton of research so I could understand what was happening and how bad it was. I was afraid that my parents weren't being truthful about the prognosis because they didn't want us to stress. What I know is that if it comes back for a second time, it'll be more aggressive.
Goosebumps break out across my skin. Even though they don't mention it, I'm all too aware that my family worries about the same thing. It only makes me realize that River and Maverick have even more in common, although it's doubtful either of them would appreciate me pointing out the similarities. I know it's easier said than done, but you can't live your life waiting for the other shoe to drop or worrying about things that might never come to pass. The words burst out of my mouth before I can stop them. None of us are guaranteed anything in this world. I don't know your mom, but I doubt she'd want you to live in constant fear for what the future will bring. It's certainly not what I want for the people in my life. And she doesn't want to be constantly reminded of her sickness and what will happen if it returns. There's nothing worse than your family staring at you like you have an expiration date tattooed across your forehead, almost as if they're already mourning your loss. His brows knit as he digests my outburst.
I get what you're saying. It's just...
His tongue darts out to moisten his lips as his steady gaze searches mine.
Hard to make peace with the fact that one of the most important people in your life could be taken from you at any time.
I know, but what's the alternative? There's a beat of silence. To hold yourself back from caring or loving anyone? To isolate yourself so you never have to feel pain? It's part of the human condition. No one goes through it without experiencing both love and loss. It's just not possible. Maybe you don't realize it, but there's freedom in accepting and embracing that during our lifetime. You'll have to get through it.
I guess I'm still trying to work through everything in my head.
His attention drops to where her hands are still clasped.
I'm not there yet.
My muscles soften at the heartfelt conversation we're having in the middle of the library. It's not something I would have expected. At every turn, Maverick continues to surprise me. His gaze lifts to mine again.
Thank you.
For what?
I don't know.
He mutters with a shrug.
Letting me unload? Other than talking to my sister, it's not something I usually do.
His lips quirk as some of the heaviness fades from his expression.
Shocker. It actually feels good.
My heart swells with so much emotion that there's a possibility it'll burst. He has no idea just how intimately acquainted I am with what he's been through. It's so tempting to share my experiences with him, but I'm afraid that Maverick would look at me differently, treat me differently. And that's the last thing I want. Before I can refocus our conversation and suggest that we get back to work, he pops to his feet and pulls me up with him.
My eyes widen at the sudden movement. Where are we going?
You'll see.
With his fingers locked around my wrist, he drags me through the stacks until we're buried in a distant corner, away from prying eyes. When he grinds to a halt, I stumble into his bigger body. His hands wrap around my upper arms before he forces me backward until my spine hits the shelving unit.
Maverick? I squeak.
I'm taking your advice and living in the moment.
Before I can come up with a response, his mouth crashes onto mine and his tongue sweeps over the seam of my lips. As soon as I open, he slips inside to tangle with my own. And then I'm lost. My palms settle on the steely strength of his chest. Instead of pushing him away, I drag him closer until my arms can twine around his neck. A groan rumbles up from him. The deep vibration of it is enough to flood my panties with heat. He pulls away enough to mutter,
"You have no idea how much I've wanted to do that. It's all I've thought about these past few days."
And then his lips are colliding with mine again. And he's dragging me down to the bottom of the ocean where sucking in a full breath becomes impossible. I don't realize that his hand has slipped down the front of my leggings and panties until he slides a finger deep inside my pussy. When a gasp escapes from me, he swallows it up. It's leisurely that he pumps his finger a few times. The thick slide of it feels amazing. It's enough to make me forget that we're in the middle of the library and anyone could walk past and catch a glimpse of what we're doing. When I whimper, he nips my lower lip before asking,
"Feel good, sunshine?"
The more he plays with my body, the less I care about what's going on around me. The stroke of his tongue matches the pace of his finger. There's something so delicious about the way he takes me from 0 to 100 in the blink of an eye. Doesn't take long before my body is straining for more, and I'm dancing precariously close to the edge, waiting to be nudged over the precipice.
"Your pussy is so damn creamy,"
he groans, all the while continuing to torment me.
"I haven't been able to stop thinking about how good you taste."
That husky admittance is all it takes to send me tumbling over the cliff. The orgasm that slams into me is enough to steal my breath away.
"That's it. Ride my hand. Show me exactly how much you like the way I play with you."
Stars explode behind my eyelids as I grind my pelvis against him. There's so much sensation rushing through my veins. It almost becomes too much for the confines of my skin. By the time the last shockwave zips through me, my knees weaken. If he weren't holding me pressed against the bookshelves, I'd slide to the floor in a puddle. Maverick brushes another kiss against my lips as his finger glides in and out of my oversensitized body.
"You're gorgeous when you fall apart."
His eyes darken with hunger as he pulls out before rubbing soft circles against my clit and slipping free of my leggings. His gaze stays pinned to mine as he brings his finger to his mouth and sucks the digit between his lips. I didn't think it was possible for his eyes to become any more heated. The sparks that fly from them nearly singe me alive. Even though he just made me come, already need is brewing to life inside me.
"Just as delicious as I remember."
When I remain silent, unable to wrap my brain around an appropriate response, there's a flash of white teeth as he grins.
"I think we've studied enough for one night. Let's get out of here."
Chapter 25, Maverick. I sneak another peek at Willow as we drive. It's been a long time since there's been a girl I was interested in sitting beside me in my truck. There's a slight furrow to her brow as she stares out the windshield. I get the feeling she's lost in the thorny tangle of her thoughts. When I mentioned grabbing something to eat, reluctance had flashed across her face, and I knew her mind had circled back to River. It had taken every ounce of self-control not to ask if she'd broken up with him yet. I'm trying to take this slow and give her time to make a decision. There's no damn way he'd treat her the way I would. She already admitted that no one else has ever made her feel the way I do. Shouldn't that be enough? Instead, I'd tangled my fingers with hers and pressed sweet kisses against her lips. What I've learned is that I can bend her to my will if I distract her with my mouth. And hands. And cock. I'm not above doing any of those things to get what I want. Which is her. I just need to be patient. My mind trips back to the library and everything I'd divulged. I never expected that opening up and sharing my fears about Mom would be so easy. The words had tumbled off my tongue before I could stop them. We might not know each other well, but I feel like I could share my deepest, darkest secrets with her. Stranger than that, I trust her to keep my confidence. And I don't have any reason to believe that. Especially when she's with the one guy I can't fucking stand. But I do. The knowledge is innate. There are times in life when you meet someone that you instantly click with. Someone you feel like you've known forever. Even though that's not the case. It's a rare occurrence, like a shooting star. That's exactly what it feels like with Willow. I'm afraid that if I loosen my grip, I'll lose it. I'll lose her. The more time we spend together, the more wrapped up in her I get. I'm afraid of what will happen if she decides not to end it with River. That thought is enough to have my fingers tightening around the steering wheel until the knuckles turn bone white. It takes effort to loosen them. I flick another glance in her direction. What I've discovered from the little time we've spent together is that she's not very adept at hiding her feelings. Every thought is written across her expressive features for all to see. It's just one of the things I like about her. Her kindness is the other. It hadn't been easy to divulge my diagnosis, but when I did, she treated it as if it were normal, as if I were normal. Until that moment, I hadn't realized that it was a burden I carried with me, like it was a dirty secret, even though no one in my family had ever made me feel that way. Sharing it with Willow had somehow lightened the load. I steal another glance at her. The way she avoids my gaze, all the while pinning her lower lip with her teeth, is just more evidence that she's conflicted about the situation. It's not like either of us saw this coming. Sure, maybe the first night I took her home, it was to strike out at River. But that had only been a small part of it. More like the cherry on top of a decadent sundae. The real reason is that I wanted her. Had to have her. I consider broaching the subject as I turn into the parking lot of Harvey's Eats and Treats. Maybe that's exactly what I needed to do. Put it all on the table and tell her how I feel.
Is this where we're eating?
She asks, gaze sliding to me for the first time. Yeah, have you been here before? She shakes her head.
Looks cute, though. Kind of like one of those diners you'd see in the movies.
A few of my teammates were talking about it, and I thought we could check it out. I pull into a space and cut the engine. You good with that?
Yeah.
We exit the truck and meet near the tailgate. I don't think twice about slipping my fingers around hers and tugging her closer. When we reach the glass door to the restaurant, I pull it open and usher her over the threshold. A little bell chimes as we step inside. It's like tumbling back in time. The floor is made up of black and white checkered tiles, while the ceiling is covered with shiny silver tin. Framed photographs of old Hollywood stars decorate the walls, along with Coca-Cola memorabilia. Booths and tables dot the brightly lit space. The former are upholstered in red vinyl with gleaming white linoleum tops. Music from decades ago pours through the speakers from a jukebox at the far end of the restaurant. The joint has a cool vibe. Just as a waitress snags my attention, someone calls out from one of the tables. Hey, Mav, over here! I turn and scan the area, only to find Wolf and Colby along with their girlfriends. I mean, their wives. I raise a hand to Wolf in greeting. I've always liked him, even when he was moody and mostly kept to himself. Now that he's with Fallon, he's opened up and seems happier, more content. Hell, every now and then, the guy actually cracks a smile. Pull up a chair, Colby adds. We just got here 10 minutes ago. I glance at Willow with a raised brow, hoping she's cool spending a little time with my teammates. Is that okay? Uncertainty flashes across her face as she takes in the couples, before her lips lift into a hesitant smile. Sure. I grab two chairs from a nearby table before making introductions. Both Fallon and Britt are friendly and welcoming. I could kiss them for doing their best to make Willow feel comfortable. They include her in the conversation, trying to get to know her. It doesn't take long before Willow is laughing and chattering as if she's known them for years. Honestly, it's nice to take a moment and simply watch her, the way her shoulders loosen and her eyes brighten. The throaty chuckle that falls from her lips feels like a warm blanket I want to cocoon myself in. It's strange to realize that I could spend the entire night doing exactly that. The spell woven around me is only broken when Colby nudges my shoulder with his own. It takes effort to tear my attention away from Willow. When our gazes finally collide, he gives me a knowing look before saying under his breath, "Looks like another wildcat has bitten the dust."
Chapter 26, Willow. Both Fallon and Britt hug me goodbye, as if we're long-lost friends, instead of just meeting for the first time a couple of hours ago. The three of us part ways outside the diner, with the promise of getting together without the guys, before Maverick hustles me into the front seat of his truck. As we drive back to campus, he says, "You seem to really hit it off with Britt and Fallon." "I did." I shift on my seat before admitting, "I'm still getting to know people at Western, so thanks for introducing us. They seem really great." I spent all junior year of high school and then part of my senior year in and out of the hospital. After a while, a lot of my friends moved on with their lives. They were busy going to parties on Friday nights, football games, dates with boys, or hanging out at the mall. Activities I couldn't take part in. Holland is the only one who stayed steadfast by my side. Anytime I ended up in the hospital, she'd show up with games to play and books to read. When I was home and well enough to have company, we'd watch movies and eat buttery popcorn. When that wasn't possible, we'd watch something together over FaceTime. Holland has a real weakness for horror movies. There was tons of shrieking and laughing at the jump scares. She will always be my ride or die.
"The whole group they hang with is cool."
The casual look he flicks in my direction belies the intensity brewing in his eyes.
"Including my sister. You'll have to meet her sometime. I think you two would like each other."
My teeth scrape across my lower lip. It's tempting to tell him that we've already met and that I do like her. She was so sweet and kind.
"Sure. Sounds like you've already made plans to get together with them."
I nod as my fingers twist in my lap. Whatever this is with Maverick feels so much more serious than before I met up with him at the library. We've hit the gas pedal and are now rocketing through hyperspace. Maybe early next week.
"I don't think anyone mentioned it, but around the locker room, they're known as the girlfriends."
The girlfriends? That's kind of funny. Before I can comment, a smile simmers across his lips as he adds,
"Correction. Fallon and Britt are known as the wives."
My brows shoot up. "Excuse me?"
"From what I understand, Wolf and Fallon were close childhood friends. Something happened when they were teenagers that ripped them apart, and he's been secretly pining for her ever since. Once they got together, he decided to lock her down for good. Last month, we all flew to Vegas for their wedding, and while we were there, Colby and Britt tied the knot as well."
His gaze flicks my way.
"Maybe I'm just clueless, but I didn't even know they were going out. It all happened so fast. So yeah, those two were the wives. And then Karina, Viola, Stella, and my sister Juliet are the girlfriends."
I turn toward him, needing to clarify what I remember being mentioned at the lunch with Elle. "So your sister is dating one of your teammates?" Now that's interesting. River would flip the fuck out if I mentioned any interest in one of his friends. Then again, he'd lose his shit if I got serious with anyone. His overprotectiveness knows no bounds. Some of Maverick's previous mirth drains away as sadness flickers in his eyes.
"Yeah, Juliet is dating Ryder."
"So, are you two just teammates or actually friends?"
"We've been neighbors since kindergarten and always played on the same travel teams. We all grew up together."
I study him in the darkness. "Did their relationship take you by surprise?"
"Do you want an honest answer?"
"Of course."
"It did. In hindsight,
I realize there's always been something brewing beneath the surface. He jerks his shoulders. Maybe I just didn't want to acknowledge it.
His response circles through my brain as I try to put myself in his shoes. Is it weird between the two of you? His brows pinch, as if giving the question serious consideration.
Yeah, it is. We used to spend a ton of time hanging out, and now that they're an item, that's no longer the case. If Ryder has downtime, they spend it together. It's like they're attached at the hip.
There's a pause before he adds,
when it came to the two of us, Juliet was always the odd man out. Not in a bad way or anything. We had our inside jokes and stories, and now it's them who have that. Sometimes they'll just look at each other and smile or laugh, and I'll stare at them, feeling like I've missed something.
He chances a look at me.
She gained a boyfriend, but it feels like I've lost my friend. Kind of sucks.
I can't help but reach out and squeeze his thigh. I'm sorry. Have you considered talking to him about it? The horror that flashes across his face as he shoots another look in my direction is enough to make me laugh.
Fuck no. Are you kidding me?
I'm really not. Ryder probably doesn't have any idea that you're hurt or miss your friendship.
Do you have any idea what a wuss that would make me look like?
A sigh escapes from me. You realize that it's perfectly normal to discuss your feelings, right?
Maybe for chicks it is, but not for a guy.
I shake my head, feeling even worse for him. That's not true at all. Men have feelings just like women, and it's okay to express them. In fact, it's necessary, healthy. There's so much strength in being able to do that, I say lightly. His lips press together, and I can almost see him turning over my words.
I'll think about it,
he finally concedes. Good. As we reach the edge of campus, he throws out the invite.
Come home with me.
I really shouldn't. The more time I spend with Maverick, the more layers I peel back. There's an unexpected depth buried beneath the surface that continues to draw me in.
Sunshine.
For better or worse, the endearment is enough to send the last of my walls crumbling. Okay.
Chapter 27. Maverick. Hayes flicks a look our way as I walk through the front door of the hockey house with one arm thrown around Willow's slender shoulders. All I want to do is keep her anchored to my side for safekeeping. More than that, I want to know she's mine. I've never wanted to belong to someone else, but with her, I do. I want her to claim me. The thought should knock me back a step and have me reevaluating everything. Instead, something inside me settles. It's like the tumblers of a safe finally falling into place. I'm still mentally tripping about all the things I've shared with her this evening. When we're together, everything I normally keep tightly contained or try to ignore pours out of me. I have no idea why I'm so comfortable in her presence. She manages to smooth out all my rough edges. She really is like pure sunshine in a bottle. And when I'm with her, I feel the warmth of it radiating on my face. I just want to bask in her light. I give Hayes a quick chin lift in greeting. He returns the gesture before his gaze slices to Willow. His brows pinch as his easygoing expression turns inscrutable. The tension that fills the atmosphere is almost enough to give me pause. Willow doesn't make eye contact with him. Instead, her attention remains focused on the staircase. A minute or so later, we're in my room, and I'm locking the door behind us, shuttering away the rest of the world. But still, the weird energy downstairs circles through my brain. Do you know Hayes? The question is out of my mouth before I can rein it back in. She glances away before her gaze resettles on mine again, and she straightens her shoulders. We attended the same high school. My brows shoot up at that bit of information. Huh. I didn't know that. She shrugs. We were never close. A strange silence descends as she unzips her black jacket. I consider asking a few more questions, wanting to lay the matter to rest, but I'm more interested in getting my hands on her. Within seconds, my arms slip around her body, and my lips are descending. There's something about the feel of her that quiets all the static in my brain, making it impossible to think about anything but her. Instead of making me work for it, she opens so that my tongue can slip inside her warmth to tangle with her own. The first taste is dizzying and hits me like a freight train. The need to touch her bare flesh spirals through me. I can't stand the layer of clothing that separates us and keeps me from her. I shove the jacket off her shoulders. That's all it takes for the heavy material to drop to the floor at our feet. Her sweatshirt is the next item to be removed. We only break away long enough for me to whip the soft fabric over her head. Already her blue eyes are dazed and lips swollen from my kisses. Everything inside me swells. I fucking love that I'm the one who put that expression on her gorgeous face. It's one that says she needs a good fucking. By me. Only me. Unable to resist, my hands cup the softness of her breasts through the silky material of her bra. It doesn't take long for her nipples to stiffen. I tweak the hard little buds until a moan slips free from her lips. Do you like that, baby? I know she does. Every reaction I'm able to tease from her tells me so, but I want her to acknowledge it. Yes. When I tweak them again in tandem, her pupils dilate in response. Do you enjoy the way I bring your body to life? Her tongue darts out to moisten her lips. You know I do. No one's ever touched me like this. It wouldn't matter if they had, but it fucking gets me off to hear her admit that I'm the only one who's figured out the way she likes her body played with, what turns her on and makes her pussy sob uncontrollably. All I want to do is please this woman and give her everything she craves. When it comes down to it, I want her addicted to my time.